The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Last night, a critical game between the Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. And you know what I realized about midway through the fourth quarter last night? That I've been, and we've all been, watching the same Maverick game now for 3 months straight.
Yes.
They win about half of them. They lose about half of them. They have 5 to 6 minutes of brilliance offensively and great play by a star like Luka or Kyrie, but then they'll have just awful moments defensively, awful moments when there's a rebound to be had, the last minute of a quarter or mostly the fourth quarter, and but last night takes the cake when it comes to after a timeout moment. No, we've talked about that, and after a timeout, the Mavericks seem to just have so many wheels off, you know, sets, both offensively and defensively. Well, last night won that. That was very unusual, but outside of that, it's just been, it's like the same game every night.
You're right, and we'll get to why the game is under protest and that out of a timeout moment here in just a moment, but you're exactly right. There are a few things that you know going into a Mavs game. They're really going to struggle late in the fourth quarter. They're going to get creamed on the boards every night. They're the worst rebounding team in basketball, and they just got blasted on the boards again last night. It's really hard to win when you can't rebound.
Yeah.
And they're going to be wildly inconsistent on offense, but they're going to be really consistent on defense, consistently bad. Their transition defense might be the worst in basketball. It's hard to find a team that plays worse transition defense, and their half-court defense, while it's a little better than their transition defense, isn't anything to write home about. And they're just really hard to watch at times because you know all this is happening, you see it's happening, and you know it's not going to get much better.
Yeah. I thought the effort was certainly there last night, even on the defensive end when they didn't always – you know, get a stop, certainly. But, you know, the way they defended the three last night was better. But, you know, again, points in the paint and two-point shooting last night was off the charts for Golden State. It's like you fix one thing and then there's a leak somewhere else.
Right. They don't have enough good defenders to defend at all.
Right.
Or one great defender like Draymond Green that can defend at all. I just retweeted the video of Green's defensive possession. The Mavericks coming out of a timeout. It's the possession you talked about at 6 o'clock where it ended up with a wild Luka off-balance shot. And just watch Draymond on that possession.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned in the tweet, then watch Draymond on that final possession for the Mavericks where he just smothered Luka, played perfect defense as Luka's point blank. And Draymond takes the blow from Luka, then closes the space again, never leaves his feet.
Great defense.
Plays perfect defense, and Luka misses the layup because of it. And I know I bang this drum every year, but until the Mavericks get a truly elite defender, and I'm not even talking about Dorian Finney-Smith, or a truly elite defender, you know, like they had when they had Tyson Chandler and won a championship.
Yeah.
Seeing what Draymond Green did in the final minute of the game last night shows you the value of an elite defender, a guy that is on the all-NBA team, first or second, a guy that can guard anybody. The Mavericks don't have anyone like that, and they haven't for 10-plus years. And before that, before they got Chandler, they didn't have anybody for a long time. They've never had anybody but Tyson Chandler get on an all-NBA defensive team. And I don't know why they are so averse to acquiring elite defenders. Not that they're a dime a dozen, but they just go into every season with poor defenders and act like that they can get away with it. And you see right there down the stretch, because the Mavericks play tight games.
Yeah.
You know, last night's game was tight the whole way through. But when you get to the final minute, you better have guys that can make clutch buckets and guys that can get stops, guys that can guard everybody. And Dallas doesn't have that. So Dallas's best defender is Maxi Kleba. Well, that big moment last night, he got switched on to Steph, and the Mavs had no chance. Right by him for the game-winning layup, and Maxi gets no help from anybody.
No.
Again, thanks in large part to a great play by Draymond Green on their offensive end. They just don't have enough guys that do enough things well.
Draymond Green was the difference in the game last night.
He really was.
Yeah, that's, I think, what won it for Golden State. I heard Folliwell say last night, back to the rebounding thing, that the Mavericks right now are getting out-rebounded by an average. They're minus five. And only two teams in the history of this league have had a winning record when it's been that bad.
Mm.
And that's their plight now. How do you win? And they're now with a losing record, right? That dropped them under last night, right?
36 and 37.
Yeah. So how do you have a winning record when you get beat on the boards that badly every night?
That brings me to two players. So I was watching a lot of Maxi last night and Powell. Why aren't they better rebounders?
I don't know. Because they both have the want to, for sure.
Yes, they do.
And great hustle plays. And
they're both long enough. Now, neither of them is 7'1", and neither of them is 280, where they take up a lot of space, but they're big enough to where they should average more than 2, 3 rebounds, 4 rebounds a night. I don't know why those guys aren't better rebounders. And then you get a guy like Jaden Hardy. He had 5 boards last night. Jaden Hardy outboarded Powell and Kleba. And wow. Jaden Hardy's a 6'3 guard. Jaden Hardy had 8 boards a few games ago. I don't understand why Maxi and Powell don't rebound. And then you get a guy like Hardy who comes out there and scores 27 points and pulls down 5 boards. And as I tweeted after the game last night, for the rest of the season, if anybody other than Kyrie and Luka get more minutes than Jaden Hardy, then that's a crime.
Yeah.
And I know they're all 3 guards and you've got to work out those minutes, but it still is going to be a crime if Jaden Hardy, for the next however many games we have left, doesn't end up with the 3rd most minutes on this team, because where would they be in these last 2 games without him in the 4th quarter?
Oh,
he's the only guy that scores in the 4th quarter now.
Yeah. No, he was great. And I tell you who else, and I think he's throughout this year showed he's an improved player. How about that sequence for Josh Green where he did keep it alive?
Yes.
On the offensive end twice, and then finally got open and knocked down a 3.
Right.
That was great hustle. I love the way he plays. They do, and that's the frustrating thing. They do a lot of things well.
Mm-hmm.
And starts making you think, okay, this is, they're going to win this thing, but there's been so many games where they've played well in so many areas, and then they get beat because this league is a lot about what you do in the last 2 minutes, and that is not their strength.
And I know the 4 guys that we want to see play a lot are Luka, Kyrie, Green, and Hardy, and those are 4 guards. So you've got to figure that out. You could go a really small all-guard lineup, but that's probably not going to work. But these guys need to play, and they give you so much more energy and scoring and defense than most of what we've seen thrown out there this year. So, you know, from that regard, the trade certainly did help, not only bringing Kyrie here, but opening up minutes for those guys. It's not the guard position that's the problem for this team, though. It's up front. They're just too small, and they get dominated on the boards, and none of those guys up front can really play defense other than Maxi, who plays it at a good level, but not great. They're just kind of a mess right now. And then to make another messy game even messier, we had that moment near the end of the 3rd quarter Ball goes out of bounds. Official says, Golden State basketball. Then he turns and says, points the other direction down the court, TV timeout. Both teams go to the bench. Broadcasters were confused. I guess the Mavericks were confused. People in the arena were confused because they thought that the official had changed his call because he pointed one way, Golden State ball. Then he turns around and points the other way.
Yeah.
And he was not saying, no, 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 Dallas ball. He was saying TV timeout. He was pointing at the scorer's table.
Right.
And in fact, one Golden State player comes over to him and says, what do you mean Dallas ball?
He said, no, 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 no.
He goes, no, 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 I'm just saying TV timeout. And he's like, oh, okay. So the two teams go their benches. Then they come back out. Golden State is going under their own basket to inbound the ball because that's what happened. That was the call. And all five Mavericks are on the other end of the court. Now, the argument made by Mark Cuban after the game on Twitter, he said, let me explain what happened. The ref called Mavs ball. Well, he's wrong there. The ref never called Mavs ball. The announcer announced it. Then there was a timeout. So the PA guy, if he announced it, he was also confused by the referee pointing for a TV timeout. So that's why Mark and a lot of people in the house thought that the ref had changed the call, but he never changed the call. So what happens is all five Mavericks are on one end of the court. Golden State inbounds it. All five Warriors are on the other end under their own basket, so they get an easy layup. Now it's 90-87. Why were there five Mavericks on their end of the court if they thought it was their basketball off a ball that went out of bounds underneath the Golden State basket?
That's a great question, and that's why I don't think they should protest, because they had a chance as they're walking out after the timeout to think, why are all the Warriors down there, and why didn't two Mavericks walk? If they think it's their ball to inbound, why didn't they walk down there to inbound it? Were they fooled by Golden State being down there, and they thought, and they got confused what side they were on?
That's what I think it was. That's the old, you see that a lot in grade school and high school.
Oh, tell me about it. When I used to coach, no, guys, we're going this way.
Yeah, you forget what end of the floor after a timeout you're on. That's the only explanation. But I would still think that they would look at that and say, why are there five Warriors down there?
Right.
And even if we forget, like, what are they? They have some weird inbounds play that they're bringing at full court with five guys. That wouldn't even make any sense. Cuban in that tweet said, worst officiating non-call mistake possibly in the history of the NBA.
How about biggest brain fart by a basketball team?
Right. So he's protesting it. And he says it matters because it was a two-point game. He's going to probably lose the protest. Over the last 40 years, only one protest has worked. And that was back in 07 when the Heat protested a game. And they ended up replaying it, that portion of the game, 50 seconds or something like that. But I was messaging with Brian Damaris from our post-game show, and he said that the Mavs will not win this protest because protests are for the misapplication of rules. And this was what the refs will call a misunderstanding, not a misapplication of the rule. So the Mavs aren't going to win this. It would be awkward if they did. Would they have to bring the Warriors back to town and play the final 14 minutes again? And how do you do that down the stretch of this schedule? I don't know how they would, or would they just say, it ends a tie and we'll play a five-minute overtime? They're not going to win the protest. And in a way, I think it's a little diversionary tactic here by Mark Cuban. You got problems way bigger than the protest.
Yes. You had so many other chances to win that game. And part of it is another element. We've talked about how the players played last night. How about how the coaches coach? You got all those guys on the bench there. No one says, by the way, this situation, you know, it's their ball. Wait, whose ball is it? Don't they always have someone checking at the scorer's table? Where's the inbound?
Yeah, you don't just go off the PA announcer.
What'd they talk about during that timeout?
Right.
What's the situation as we go back out on the court?
Boy, that's a great question.
They thought it was their ball, so they're drawing up a
play where nobody
an offensive play, but they don't go out on offense.
Okay, it's our ball, guys. Here's what we're gonna do: no one goes back to inbounds.
Don't go to the front court. get ready to play defense.
Very weird.
It makes no sense. Makes no sense.
No, and big picture now, with that loss, they dropped to ninth.
And you don't lose. You lose the tiebreaker now with Golden State,
which is huge.
That was my other observation from last night. I still say, I know they've had injuries. They're the most underachieving team in the Western Conference this year. They still have enough.
Golden State?
Yes. Yeah. With that lineup to be better than just whatever they are, game over 500.
Yeah. And even with Wiggins missing for a month now.
Yeah.
I saw this early in the game from Golden State, and it might explain why they've struggled this year. I think they half-ass it a lot. I think they... This has been my complaint about them.
They're just waiting for the playoffs?
Well, it's been my complaint about them for a number of years. They are so into themselves that they play Globetrotter basketball, half-ass basketball, no offense to the Globetrotters, for way too much of games. Now, against a team like Dallas, sometimes they can buckle down in the fourth quarter and play really good defense and focus. But I don't think Kerr has much control over them. And I think in that first quarter in particular, they were so sloppy with the ball and loose with it and stupid turnovers. And for a team that has guys with high basketball IQs, they make the dumbest decisions.
However cocky you thought they were before last year, I think they even elevated their cockiness after last year's title.
Yes, I think so too.
Because with Kaminga Thompson, Curry, Looney, Green, that's enough. You should not be hovering...
No.
Over just barely over 500 with that group.
Not at all. All right. Well, here we go. Now, Charlotte. I think at least the Mavs have back-to-back with Charlotte, but this is where I think the back-to-back bites you.
It'll be the same game, I'm telling you.
I bet you they split.
Probably.
And they need to win both because they're better than Charlotte, I think. Mm. But I don't like how the NBA has done the back-to-back. I think it more often than not leads to splits, even when the teams are not that comparable.
Yeah, it may. That'd be interesting to see the number on that.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.